Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This is the second hour of our program where we turn our attention to Yahweh. But since Yahweh spends much of his time throughout his Torah, his teaching, to explain to us why he is so opposed to religion, why he wants us to walk away from religion so that we can walk with him, so that we can rely on him instead of human institutions, I do want to convey a couple of thoughts before we move on. The first of those is Hillary Rotten Clinton, the Secretary of Hate of the United States, said, "We absolutely reject this movie's content and its message." So, here is the Secretary of Hate, Hillary Rotten Clinton of the United States, blaming the movie for what has happened. I am quite certain she's never seen the movie. I am quite certain she wouldn't know if the movie's message were true or false. Here's a movie that is attempting to accurately present Muhammad. Now, I haven't seen the movie, but I can tell you that when someone tells me that they're the oft-repeated slurs by Islamophobes, it doesn't take much to recognize that the themes that are presented in the oldest Islamic sources of Muhammad being a terrorist, being a mass murderer, being a sexual pervert, being a thief, being a kidnapper, that those are the themes that are presented in the movie because they are accurate. There's a reason that all those who know what the Islamic sources say call Muhammad a pedophile. There's a reason that all of us refer to Muhammad as a terrorist. Because it's the truth. And here's the Secretary of Hate of the United States rejecting the content and the message of the film. As opposed to rejecting the errant media stories that inflamed this in Egypt, instead of rejecting the fundamentalist Muslims who attacked our embassy not only in Egypt but also in Yemen and again in Libya, no. She wants to absolutely reject those who would have the courage to tell you the truth. Why? Because the truth isn't convenient. It doesn't fit the master plan. That's why. This movie, Innocence of Muslims, I got a email from a Copt Christian just a moment ago. It was made in the summer of 2011. The film has been shown once to a mostly empty theater in Hollywood earlier this year. Had it not been for the Islamic media that is now empowered as a result of the Muslim Brotherhood's rise to power in Egypt, no one would even have known about this film, which dares tell the truth about Islam. If it had not been for the United States meddling and President Barack Obama sympathizing and literally taunting Muslims to rise up and to claim their manifest destiny as a great and noble religion that has changed the landscape of the world. Yes, it did. It brought down those two towers in New York City. It demolished the American embassy in Libya, continuing to change the landscape. It had not been for the United States aiding and abetting the most fundamentalist Muslims to take control of their country and therefore to have control of the media in those countries, this would not have happened. Hillary Rotten Clinton has consistently sided with, negotiates with, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is why she is condemning the promotion of the truth on behalf of the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, when we were in a situation on this particular incident where the President of the United States talked to the Mujahideen that had perpetrated on, siding with America, the armed insurrection against the secular government in Libya, they said, you know, we're sorry this happened, and we're going to help you secure your embassy. In the same conversation with Morsi, the USC-educated Muslim fundamentalist that is now in charge of Egypt, he didn't apologize, didn't care, made no promises of any kind. It prompted the President of the United States to say something amazing. This is the country that we give more weaponry to and more aid to than any other save Israel. And he said that country is no longer an ally of the United States. Truly amazing. Now, before we return to our presentation of the creation account as it is presented by Yahweh in his Torah, and consider the rendition of the psalm that speaks of how time is different based upon the flow of time, based upon the perspective of the observer. I have Frank back. Frank and I were talking 2 days ago about an email that we received from someone who was as we would have been at the time, was, wait a minute, you know, you're telling me that Jesus is not the right name, that he's not our Savior. You're telling me that my King James isn't accurate. You're telling me that nobody died on a cross, that God, you know, didn't die, that, you know, that was the basis of Christianity, that God died for my sins. And you're telling me that's not true, that that's not possible, that God couldn't die. And then he ends it with that. Are you telling me that God or Yahweh or whatever you call him did not become a man and walk on earth 2,000 years ago? Please explain! Exclamation point. Exclamation point. Exclamation point. Thank you so very much. Now let me share with you the comments that I made to those last two statements. Who died on the cross and God or Yahweh did not become a man and walk on the earth 2,000 years ago? Please explain. Thank you so much. Let me read what I wrote to them. And then we'll have Frank. Frank would like to speak and share some closing thoughts on this email, because this is not one person, and we're not speaking to this one individual. In fact, they've been anonymous. We're speaking to all of those whose the truth is so jolting to everything they have previously believed and clung to for their life. So, who died on the cross? No one that matters. No one that matters. Yahweh cannot die. Yahweh is immortal. Man can't kill God. That's a religious lie. It's a myth. Yahusha's body, as the Passover lamb, died and ceased to exist on Pesach, on Passover. Just his body. His soul, or consciousness, which is the way we normally measure the existence of life, didn't cease to exist. No. It went on to fulfill unleavened bread. Then on first fruits, with his body now gone, his soul and spirit were reunited on Bukurim. It is why no one recognized him. Cross is found nowhere in Scripture. It too is a pagan term. The Greek text doesn't even reference a cross. Stero is what is written in the text, and it means upright pillar. The translations are just wrong, and the publishers all know it. The correct concept is based upon the Hebrew term kum, which means to stand, and edon, upright pillar. You see, steros is based upon histemi, which means to stand, so as to enable others to stand, based upon the Hebrew concept of kum, to stand, so as to enable others to stand. And steros' direct translation would be upright pillar. We're speaking of the edon, the upright pillar of the doorway to life. And it's only in concert with Passover and the doorway to life that these concepts can be understood. What you should be asking is, what happened on Passover? What happened on unleavened bread? And what happened on first fruits? And how do these fulfillments of the Torah promises pertain to me? You shouldn't be asking who died on the cross. You won't find truth there. But you will if you seek to understand what the Torah teaches about Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, and how and why Yahusha observed and fulfilled these days. His last comments were, God or Yahweh did not become you. So you're telling me God or Yahweh did not become a man and walk on the earth 2,000 years ago? Please explain. Thank you so much. Yahweh is the proper pronunciation of God's name. And he did, as promised, set apart a diminished manifestation of himself as Yahusha to personally fulfill his Torah promises. He has been here in this forum six times already, and he will return a seventh. Yahweh is knowable, but not through religion. To know him, you will first have to walk away from religion. To help you with that, I've attached an introduction to God. It is also available at introtogod.org. All right, now, Frank, with that conclusion, I know you wanted to add some thoughts to this, not this specific individual, perhaps to them. Every soul matters a great deal. This is somebody that had the good sense to prioritize understanding these things and right. So this soul in particular matters. But this person speaks the same words that are spoken by so many others. And maybe there's many, 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 in fact, I know that there are many others struggling with these same things. And this person had the good sense to articulate this, and we can help answer this question for many others.
Good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Happy preparation for the celebration days, not only of Sabbath coming tomorrow, but for the celebration days starting Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on how you start that day of trumpets, but
yes,
already shouting for joy.
Yes,
continue process.
We're approaching the celebration of Teruah, which is trumpets, where we are encouraged by Yahweh as the fifth of six steps from our world to his home, to be adopted into his family, to camp out with him for all time. You know, the first step, of course, is Passover, and then unleavened bread and first fruits, the three things we've talked about here. But the fifth step along this journey is Teruah, and it will be celebrated in just a few days. It's the time that we are encouraged to do the very thing we're doing here, which is to share Yah's message with us, to teach Yah's message to those who would listen to him. And so that is the purpose of the upcoming celebration. Go ahead, though, Frank.
And also the other part of that, which is very exciting, I think, too, is that we're not only shouting for joy or excitement about being in the family of Yah, but we're also shouting a warning to anyone who will listen.
Yes, indeed. And we will talk about that warning after we return from the commercial break. Frank, please stay with us. And listeners, please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. To Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada, and we have a caller with us, Frank, from the beautiful Pacific Northwest. And his last comment was something that is astute. I did not give the full picture on Teruah. It isn't just to present Yah's teaching, his guidance, as it relates to the path that he has provided from our polluted world to his home, a path that begins with Pesach, Passover, follows through unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is where we are actually ransomed for our sin. Pesach is only about eternal life. That's a good thing. But eternal life, while we are still sinners, is a bad thing because we would spend it separated from God in Sheol. So Passover without unleavened bread is actually counterproductive. That's why the myth of Christianity is so vile. If Christians actually understood what happened on Passover and observed it, and did not observe matzah, unleavened bread, it would be the worst of all possibilities because they would become immortal, but immortally separated from God, which is to be in Sheol with Satan. That step then proceeds through Bukurim, where we are reborn spiritually into God's family. Bukurim means firstborn child. We call it first fruits. And then on the seven Sabbaths later on Shavuah, we are enriched by Yah's Torah teaching. We're empowered by Yah's set-apart spirit, and we are therefore not only prepared and enabled to grow with God, we're also better prepared to share his testimony, which is half of the mission on Teruah, where we shout for joy and tell people this wonderful plan that God has provided for us to be able to participate in his covenant, be part of his family, and to camp out with him forever. But Frank was also right. There's a second part of the responsibility of Teruah, of trumpets, and that's to signal a warning. And, Frank, you know what the warning is all about.
It's better to be in the family of Yah than to suffer through the tribulation time. Even though,
yes,
there's a somewhere early 1 to 3 year evacuation for some who will come to know him, which shows Yah's mercy.
Yes.
He's not wanting his family to.
Frank, what happens to those who don't observe Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, and don't come into the presence of the maternal, the motherly, if you will, aspect of God's light and nature? What happens to those who don't heed that invitation, who either reject the invitation or don't even consider it?
Well, is that either poof or, oh, my God?
It's their souls cease to exist. Their souls will be annihilated. And what that means is that there's no punishment associated here.
No.
It's just the end of your life. That when you die, if you have not observed and benefited from, claimed the great purpose of Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, where we are reconciled via the covenant in our relationship with Yahweh. If you have not observed it, and there's not one Christian, of course, in a million that observes it, and there's not even a religious Jew that observes it appropriately. They afflict their own souls, as opposed to this is a day of reconciliation where God afflicted his soul on matzah so that our souls wouldn't be afflicted. But if you do not observe Yom Kippurim, according to Yahweh, your soul will cease to exist at the end of your mortal life. That's the
why
warning.
I said poof.
Poof, yes.
Poof.
Poof. Yeah.
I was
explaining poof.
Everything you have, everything you did, all that you enjoyed, that's all you got, and poof.
Poof. Yeah, I think you wanted to speak just kind of generically overall about kind of our response to the person who wrote this letter, who was articulating. Yeah, it's articulating what many have to be grappling with at this point, of learning that everything that they have been told, everything they have believed in, is untrue. That is extraordinarily disorienting, and you wanted just to talk a little bit about the about being in that position because you've been there,
right? And also, just a couple of things that I want to say, and that one I want to direct directly to that couple, and not just to them, but to other couples or people who are out there that are on a journey, who are or maybe just discovering that what they thought that they believed in was not true. They're just starting on a journey of learning that Yah is who their Heavenly Father actually is. And I have a couple of very dear friends that are Christian friends, known them for a long time, done lots of ministry with them, and we're going to keep the people who actually email you. Oops, I hear the music coming. Keep them covered up. But hey, when we get back, I'll take just a couple of seconds and we'll get on with this process.
Okay. Thank you. Frank, we'll be back with Frank after the break, and then we're going to continue in our presentation of Yada Yah. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We have my good friend Frank on the phone, and he wanted to wrap up his thoughts regarding how disorienting it must be, how troubling it must be. It was for me, certainly, and I know it was for Frank when you first learn that the religion that you've devoted your life to, that you have placed your hopes in, is wrong in every possible way. And so, Frank, please share your concluding thoughts.
All right. Thanks, Al. I just wanted to say, you know, that I have two really good Christian friends that I've known for a long time that I've shared God with, and they wouldn't mind me using their names, but I use them generically just to say what I'm going to say. And Mike and Judy are really close friends, and Dave and Nancy. And in Sharon Yotto, it's very much like the couple that emailed back because they had very, very similar reply once starting to talk with them about God. And there's a lot of Mike, there's a lot of Judy's, there's a lot of Dave's, and there's a lot of Nancy's out there, and a lot of other names of people just like them, well-meaning mm-hmm. Christians, spent their entire life seeking and serving Jesus Christ, not knowing that using or saying the Lord, I'm looking for the Lord, I'm listening to the Lord, that it's bogus, and you can readdress that if you'd like to after we readdressed it. But anyway, I want to get on and just say that for those people, just like these couple that I've shared with and the couple that emailed in, is that sometimes when we're on talk radio or even when we're just talking over a phone or something, people do not always get to see the inflection that's in our face and our smile and our eyes and all the rest. And sometimes it comes across kind of cold or hard or maybe even arrogant. And I just want to shatter that myth that that's the last thing that either God or I or anyone really trying to share God is trying to be is cold, indifferent, arrogant, or any part of that, because we are very passionate. And once we have seen the sheep and what happens when the wolf comes in, and I speak from this from the heart, because a herd of sheep that we have this year, a pack of wild dogs came in, and one early morning killed 17. And when you see your sheep that are brutally attacked, and
for no purpose, what, even for food? They killed 17. Yeah.
That's right. Not even for food, just to kill. And you see some that basically they're laying dead, and they're it doesn't look like anything's really happened to them.
Helpless.
When you take the hide off, when you skin them, thinking it would be revealing what happened, is they are completely mutilated. And that's what I see when I see other brothers and sisters who came the same road, came through the same door, maybe even we did, or other doors, and see them, because I see them as the sheep who are mutilated and killed. And I just want to say to anybody who's listening, is there are a lot of resources available. Yada has lots of resources. You hear him talking about it all the time. The forum, the YY forum, there's lots of people who have websites who have dedicated doing work towards having information for you available on those websites, and you can find almost all of those through searching on the Internet, but also if you go to the Yada Yada forum and just ask anybody there. But, I mean, we have a good friend who's done reciting the Dead Sea Scrolls, working on a translation of that. Other good friends, even in the Pacific Northwest, that have sites with what we call the Ten Commandments that are all available with audios. I mean, there's all kinds of resources. Go find those resources. Mm-hmm. And just be careful when you're out there, because there are still a lot of wolves in sheep clothing who just started another religion. They didn't really leave the religion, and they just started another religion, and they still have all the religion with them. And I can tell you this, after having a long relationship with Yada, is that he is one who will continually tell you the truth, not based on what he thinks or anybody else thinks, but based on what Yah actually says. And it's literally, you can hardly hold up a hand and find five in the world who would do the same thing. And so anyway, I just want to encourage those people that don't give up. It's very discouraging sometimes when all of your friends abandon you and you want to tell somebody. And one little short story is, about a year ago, Diane and I were visiting some wonderful little shops in northern Idaho and met a beautiful young woman. And in the conversation, I just happened to bring up Yah. And, of course, it's very common for me to do that pretty thing. And she happened to leap for joy. And here it is a little over a year later, and I just got a call yesterday saying, Frank, can you and Diane come and either Saturday or Sunday, can you come and just sit? Because I have some friends that I've been telling. I'm just growing, and I'm so new, and I'm taking these baby steps, but they want to hear about Yah. And I was shouting, man, it's a great shouting, because Why am I shouting? Because here a year ago was a sheep who was in dire need of knowing about God. And a short year later, they're telling people on Terua, shouting for joy that they know Yah, and shouting the warning that it's better to be in the family of Yah than to be left behind or to be distant.
Yes, to be slaughtered like the innocent sheep because they were unaware of who was preying on them and who wanted to embrace them and protect them. And that is the an important message. And Frank, thank you for sharing it. And that is our intent. You know, it is appropriate for us to be passionate, for us to be angry, for us to condemn the religious teachings that have led so many innocent sheep to have been mauled by the promoters of religion.
Right.
It's the only loving thing that we can do is to expose and condemn what the slaughter that we see happening. And many people are offended. They become angry when you criticize their religion. And yet, if we were not to do it, we would cease to be loving. Yahweh himself devotes an enormous amount of his testimony to doing the exact thing that we're doing, exposing and condemning the corruption of religion and politics, military and economic schemes. And he's passionate about it as well. Scott, I can hear you in the background. But please, share with us.
I was going to say, you should be angry about that. How do you feel if somebody's been lying to you? And then you find out the truth. People being lied to should make you angry. I mean, that should make you angry. And I think it's a completely reasonable thing. I feel that both you and Frank have a reason for your anger.
Yeah, well, then, there's also the passion there that, and I see it different. I could say, well, I see it as a pastor. I don't want any titles or anything because I don't have those. And, you know, that's not in there. But in the sense that I see it, okay, shepherd, that would be a better word. When I see the sheep and I know the disaster, is my heart breaks. And it even breaks more sometimes when they say, you're not taking my Jesus for me. And because there's nothing I can do. I have to let them go and be slaughtered.
Yes.
I cannot stop that.
And for Frank, for both of us, our animosity to religion, particularly Christianity, even Islam, was initially born out of why all of these people that told me I should trust them lied to me about some things as vital as the survival of my very soul. That animosity lasts about a month.
Right.
And after that, it is you gain a new animosity, but that animosity mirrors Yah's animosity. That's why he calls himself passionate, zealous, in his 10 statements that he makes to us. That's why he spends so much time expressing his animosity towards religion and politics and human schemes in his Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And that animosity is directed at the same perpetrators of the religious and political lies, but not because you and I have been lied to. We get over that very quickly, because the truth is so wonderful, and Yah's love is and his covenant promises are so spectacular that just to have been done with that is such a release, such a joy to say, well, this is the way God always had to be. This always, you know, I've sensed this. This is exactly as I knew inside it always had to be. But now you have a frustration because you know the truth and you know these same lying pastors and priests and politicians are savaging sheep.
Right.
And they're savaging not a 17 sheep, not even 1,700 sheep, not 17,000 sheep.
Millions.
Billions of sheep. Billions of sheep they're slaughtering. Yosha is very clear in his testimony to us that as he attempted to be our shepherd to protect us as his sheep, that we too ought to be shepherds and that we too ought to care enough for the sheep, the people, the souls of this world who are being abused, who are being led astray, who are being fed poison, who are being savaged by religious and political leaders for their own self-aggrandizement, that we ought to care enough about the victims of politics and religion to speak out against the perpetrators of these things. And if that comes across as something that angers you to hear this, then my friend, your anger is misplaced.
That's right.
You know, those, like the journalist that spoke of the those who slur Muhammad as Islamophobes. No, it's exactly the opposite. Those who are willing to speak out the truth, who've come to know it, who come to know what God actually said, and can present it for you in terms and document it for you and prove that this is God's position on these things. Because certainly both Frank and I have striven to do. I've written some 7,000 pages that translate Yah's testimony. Or, in the case of the Quran, Satan's testimony. And present it for you. And then help you, give you a handrail to say, all right, this ties to this thing, and this is related to this aspect of the covenant, or this aspect of God's plan of salvation, so that you pause long enough to think about it, you make the connections. We're not speaking for ourselves.
No. As a matter of fact, I want to jump in and say one more thing, is that you have done an absolutely tremendous job of giving us a tool, and we'll both talk two tools. Yada Yah, as well as Introduction to God. And my advice to people is listen to the whole, I mean, go through and read the whole thing. Take down notes. And by the time you get to the end, 99% of what your questions are will be answered. Don't panic. Read to the end.
Thank you, Frank. We'll conclude our presentation of Shattering Myths after the break. I am Yada. Welcome back to the final segment of Shattering Myths Today. I'm your host, Yada. We have three callers on the line, and we're going to do the best to our best to be able to listen to each of them. First, I'd like to turn to Jason, who would like to comment on the last segment. Are you with us, Jason?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely, Jason. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to point out a couple things. With regard to some of the, getting emotional and, mm-hmm. almost anxious when it comes to, pointing the way to Yah, mm-hmm. as it were. For me, I just want to point out, this, Devarim, I believe it is, it's called Deuteronomy.
Right. Devarim words,
13:4.
Mm-hmm.
And also John 6:37.
All right,
What I'm getting at is that one, the false prophets actually have a purpose in that they're a testing or a trying mechanism to see if your heart is turned towards Yah and his Dabar. Now also, I wanted to point out that the Messiah talks about all that the Father gives me will come to me,
mm-hmm.
And also the parable or the story about the wheat and the tares, and that the master, English translation talks that says, don't pull them up.
Right. Let them grow.
We until the harvest.
Absolutely.
So I think it's healthy for us to continue to rely and trust on Yahweh.
Yes.
And to keep our focus on His work, and opportunities will come, and not feel that it's our responsibility to change a person's
thinking.
The free will still applies there. And, and so that, I know I got to keep it short, so I hope I conveyed what I was trying to say.
You did, and thank you, Jason. Let me make one comment on Jason, and then we're going to turn to Rod. The body in which is words, Deuteronomy 13:4, reads, "You shall follow Yahweh, your God." Now, the only way you can follow Yahweh God, your God, is to walk in the footsteps of Yahusha, and therefore be Torah observant. And you should revere him, which means to love and respect him. And you shall observe the terms and conditions of his covenant. Listen to his voice. Serve with him. Cling to him. There's only one way to do that. It's through the covenant, and it is through the Torah that we learn about the terms and conditions of the covenant so that we can follow him, so that we can listen to him, so that we can cling to him. Now, Rod, I'd like to hear your perspective on this. I think that from what I read that you agree with much of this, but to think that this is only, this might not be the only chance that we have. Hello, Rod. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, God. Jason made some points that I hadn't thought about. He also brought up scripture, Yochanan 6:44, John 44, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. And then
yes,
the 40-plus years that I feel that I have been being dealt with by Yah, that I've noticed that the vast majority of human beings are not called. You really have to have this being drawn to Yah to come. And there are a lot of people I can think of that if this is the only chance they get, that would be really fair as far as I'm concerned. And I agree with you, when you die, you're dead.
Yeah.
Unless you have a relationship with Yahweh. But
yeah,
I've got to learn to read Hebrew. I've got to do a lot of studying before I can engage you in much of a debate about whether or not what I've believed for many years is correct or not. But
well, Rod, unfortunately, we're at the end of our program. You brought up some wonderful points, and I would love to discuss them with you. We don't have to debate them. We can actually just discuss them in our program tomorrow. If you wouldn't mind, if you would call in the second half of our program, we'll pick up this conversation with you, and we will discuss whether or not the presentation and offer that Yahweh makes regarding his covenant and our salvation is fair, and whether or not there is but one way to know him and to be saved by him. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Since 1974, Evelyn Gibson has helped thousands of people live healthier, happier, and more productive.